Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Taiwan Mobile 2007 second quarter results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Instruction will be provided at that time. If any participant requires assistance at any time, please press the star followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Ms. Rosie Yu. Thank you, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rosie. Harvey is tied up with something else, so I'll be doing this on behalf of him. First, let me brief you on today's outline. We'll start from a post-TFN acquisition and then event update and then key messages. We have started consolidating Taiwan fixed network contributions from April 17. In the second quarter, the inclusions of fixed line and cable TV business increased our existing revenue by 13%. And our EBIT came in better than expected because of higher EBITDA margin in the second quarter. And apart from summing up EBIT at three divisions, we added back 220 million NT dollar depreciation savings in the second quarter, which was derived from a negative goodwill generated from the TFN acquisition. Compared to 500 million NT non-operating income in the second quarter of last year due to the disposal of Holding Technology, we did not have such one-off gain in this quarter. Our net profit reached 116% of official guidance in the second quarter. Now let's turn to divisional result breakdown on the second page. In the second quarter, the revenue of the three major business divisions exceeded our expectations. Our mobile revenue saw above-industry growth in MOU, so were prepaid and VAST revenue. And our fixed lines revenue growth in the second quarter was driven mainly by a 19% year-on-year increase in data revenue, while voice revenue stayed flat year-on-year. And the 9% year-on-year increase in cable MSOs revenue was a function of 4% rise in total number of subscribers and 5% addition of ARPU, which came largely from broadband services and channel leasing. In terms of profitability, mobile business saw continuous EBITDA margin expansion in the second quarter. The sequential margin increase was attributable to lower cash network costs and stronger revenue, while the year-on-year jump was due to lower marketing expenses. Our fixed line EBITDA margin in second quarter also enlarged because of better product mix, lower personnel expenses, and fewer marketing spending. And our cable MSO business has benefited from better economies of scale with cash costs stay flat while revenue continues going up, which led to a higher EBITDA margin in the second quarter. EBIT for both mobile and cable divisions had good year-on-year growth in this quarter. Fixed line division reported a significant year-on-year operating loss reduction during the period. Now let's turn to wireless peer comparison. As mobile remains the main revenue and EBITDA contributor, I'll have a quick overview of the division's operating results in the second quarter. Our second quarter mobile revenue year-on-year growth was higher than the industry average, mainly due to increasing minutes of use, a 20% prepaid revenue increase, in contrast to a 15% drop at our closest competitor, and a 20% rise in value-added services to more than compensate for NCC's mandatory price cuts. effective April 1st of the year. Now let's look at our value-added service. You can see that our 3G SIM card holders at the end of the second quarter was somewhere around 1 million. And 3G handset adoption rate is about 12%, up 4.5 times year on year. And 3G data revenue was also up 1.9 times year on year. And the main value-added service drivers came from mobile internet. And now let's look at our balance sheet. On our balance sheet, the integration of TFN increased our available for sale financial assets, which included 2.6 billion worth of Fubon financial holding. And on the liability side, current liability rose because of cash dividend payable. And shareholders' equity account was deducted by 37 billion to comply with the Taiwan GAAP of booking the 27.4% TWM stake owned by TFN as treasury shareholders' equity for the 15.4% TFN not owned by us. Though the treasury share accounting treatment lowered our shareholders' equity account to 52 billion at the end of the second quarter from 94 billion at the end of the first quarter, our net debt to equity of 51% was at a healthy level, and our net debts of 26.38 billion at the end of the second quarter equal to 0.89 times of our full year EBITDA. Now let's turn to our cash flow analysis. Our second quarter cash flows included all the TFN consolidated cash flow activities from April 17 onward to the end of June. Given the high cash generation nature of cable MSO business and improved fixed line EBITDA, the inclusion of TFN had positive contributions to our operating cash flow in the second quarter. The payment of annual corporate tax lowered our operating cash flow in the quarter. And the purchase of TFN resulted in 40 billion NT of investing cash outflow, partially offset by TFN's divestment of 10.7 billion worth of bond funds and inheritance of 3.9 billion NT of cash balance from TFN. To finance the acquisition of TFN, we further increased TIT's short-term borrowings by 3.8 billion NT in the second quarter, but TFN repaid 11.5 billion of loans in the quarter. Thus, we had 6.7 billion net cash outflows in financing activities in the second quarter. Net-net, our cash position reduced only by 9.5 billion in the second quarter. CapEx in second quarter was on track and accounted for only 8% of our revenue. In the first half, mobile, fixed line, and cable MSO CapEx totaled 2.8 billion, 341 million, and 279 million respectively. We expect mobile and cable MSO CapEx to be more back-end loaded and maintain our full-year CapEx guidance of 6.8 billion for mobile, 850 million NT for fixed line, and 540 million NT for cable MSO. Now we'll talk about benefits of TFN acquisition. So far, we've acquired 84.75% of TFN, but at the end of June, we had 84.6% of TFN at a cost 14 billion lower than its book value. Because of the because of the valuation or because of the cost we paid, came a negative goodwill of 14 billion over TFN's remaining equipment useful life, will translate into a 1 billion per annum depreciation savings for Taiwan Mobile. From the consolidated statement, you can see that our EBIT has improved. And now let me brief you on the financial progress after the acquisition. After we acquire TFN, we have made the company to repay 11.5 billion of syndication loans earlier than their original schedule of September. So this resulted in interest savings of 95 million NT for this year. And on its cable operations, we have managed to renegotiate the terms of cable loans, which is also under a syndication. So hopefully the loan will have a lowered interest rate by about 90 bips, which would result in an interest savings of about 129 million in 5 year time. And for TIP alone, we will restructure the bridge loan into a midterm loan by this year end. So interest expense for TIP's loan to acquire TFN will amount to roughly 270 million this year. Now let's turn to the forecast of this year. We have revised the numbers to reflect the actual numbers of the past two quarters in the whole year numbers. So as you know, we released our third quarter and fourth quarter guidance on May 16th and projected a full year revenue target of 65.4 billion, EBITDA of 29.68 billion, and net profit, which is a revised one to reflect the actual numbers of the past two quarters. So the net profit number is now 4.5 billion. To recap our third quarter guidance, on the mobile business front, mobile revenue expects to have a 1% year-on-year dip in the third quarter, as minutes of use increases to be offset by NCC's mandatory price cut. Rising network maintaining costs and stronger sales activities are expected to weigh on third quarter's EBITDA. Compared to third quarter of last year, the pre-tax income in the third quarter of this year will be lower, as we had 1.5 billion of gains from the disposal of Chunghwa Telecom shares last year. So that will make some difference here. And on the fixed line business front, third quarter EBITDA in fixed line business is estimated to expand and grow double digits year on year, benefited from better product mix and lower operating expenses. And on the cable business, the business is growing steadily, driven by basic pay TV and broadband user increase and rising cable ARPU. In the third quarter, we expect its EBITDA to show a year-on-year increase, with margins safely maintained over 50% still. So this is all about our whole year forecast. And on the shareholder return, we, on top of our positive EBIT contributions from two new business lines, depreciation savings will provide more upside potential to our future reported profits and, in turn, cash dividends. Additionally, we still have 7.6 $6 billion of unappropriated earnings, which could be used to for dividend distribution, but that's pending for board's approval. So based on our estimate, we expect to see $2.4 from capital reduction early next year, and maybe 80 cents from 2007 earnings. So that will total roughly $3.2 per share to be returned in cash to our shareholders next year. And that will translate into roughly 8.6% dividend yield. And now let me update you on the events. On the TFN integration, we have passed a resolution on June 29th, TFN's AGM, to merge with TIT. So this should be completed by end of this year. And the acquisition cost for the rest of TFN, for 84.6% of TFN is $14 billion lower than its net worth as of the end of the second quarter. So the amortization of the negative goodwill over TFN's remaining equipment useful life will translate into $1 billion NT dollar annual depreciation savings. In terms of balance sheet management, we have raised $16.37 billion of new debt at TIT, and we are in the process of refinancing the borrowings for TFN Media to realize interest savings on its $5.3 billion loans, as I reported earlier. And we estimate to have a healthy balance sheet with gross debts of around $51 billion at the end of this year. And on the WiMAX licensing, we were not awarded the WiMAX license as a result of our prudent approach toward the bidding, given its immature technology and business model. The outcome will not have any impact on our operations and future development of our wireless broadband business. We will evaluate different business models for wireless broadband and all available technologies, including 3G, 3.5G, WiMAX, LTE, among others, to provide comparably convenient and stable services to our customers. And now is the key message that we would like to share with you. Time Mobile has consummated the tender offer of TFN, and this acquisition has opened up the door for providing a more diverse platform of services to our customers through quadruple play. And access to growth from various avenues other than mobile services to preempt future competition has become acceptable, despite the time-consuming process of integration of various entities. We expect to see positive developments continuously and look forward to delivering the results in due course. So that's all about the presentation today, and we'll open up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will now begin the question and answer section. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press star followed by the two. If you are using loudspeaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selection. Your questions will be answered in order they are received. The first question comes from Mr. Danny Chu. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, this is Danny Chu from Lehman Brothers. Thanks for the conference call. I just got two quick questions. First, in the results announcement, it was mentioned that marketing expenses is expected to go higher in third quarter. I just want to get a sense of, how high it can go up to with regards to the marketing expenses and the potential impact on the EBITDA margin going forward. And the second question is with regards to the fixed line business. It was inside the guidance, it mentioned that by better product mix, EBITDA is expected to grow double-digit year-on-year. Can you elaborate a little bit in terms of what better product mix to drive the double-digit year-on-year growth of EBITDA on fixed line business? Thank you.
Next question, the first question on marketing expense. The marketing expense is expected to go up by no more than 1 billion in the third quarter, according to our estimate. So that would roughly translate into no more than 0.6% lower of a reduction of EBITDA margin in the third quarter. And on the TFN side, we have better its product mix. So the lower margin business, we reduced the lower margin business so that our EBITDA margin can be improved. Lower margin, higher margin business is pursued more aggressively, for example, like the lease line business. And the voice business is kind of lower to an extent to reflect the product mix change.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask questions, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. The next question comes from Ms. Kathy Chen. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. I have three questions. Firstly, can you give us an update on the process of selling the treasury shares? And if the sale of the shares are done for cash, would you be willing to conduct another capital reduction? The second question is, I wanted to check on this comment about the merger resolution being consummated by the end of the year. Can you go over what other steps need to be taken between sort of June 29th and the end of the year? And what does this mean in terms of your financials? I'm a bit confused. Are you now recognizing 100% of TFN starting June 29th or just the 84%? And I guess related to that, if you're recognizing the 100%, then could there be a larger negative goodwill amortization recognized in the second half? And then the last question is, I think I understand that with the treasury shares, TFN or TIT can now vote to forego the dividends attributed to the treasury shares so that the rest of the shareholders can potentially benefit from the increased dividend. Can you explain how this process would work and potential timing if this were to happen? Thanks.
Okay. We still haven't decided how to do with the treasury shares. It's being studied internally, and no concrete progress has been made on any sale of the treasury shares. I think this is still this still needs some time for us to figure out which is the best way for us, especially from shareholders' point of view. And the merger will be consummated by end of this year. Currently, we are still recognizing 84-point-something percent of the company. We are not recognizing 100% yet. And as to the dividend to be forgone by TFN, it hasn't been decided either, but that we don't rule out the possibilities if the treasury shares are not disposed of at that time. That should be next year. And the procedures involved actually is an AGM resolution for TFN to forego their dividend from Time Mobile.
Okay, thanks. Just to follow up on the last point then, could you potentially call an EGM, or does it have to be the usual AGM?
Well, it can be done in an usual AGM.
But could it also be done by calling an extraordinary one, GM?
Sorry?
Could you do it through an EGM as well in terms of potential flexibility in the time to call an extraordinary general meeting?
Oh, yeah, it can also be done in an EGM, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. John Kim. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you very much for the call. I have a couple of questions. First, pertain to your triple play or quadruple play initiative so far. Can you please update us on your talks with other cable operators, given that you would actually need a nationwide coverage of cable service for your bundled service to have a real impact? And related to this, how much lower do you think your churn rate will become for your following your TPS or QPS initiatives, considering your mobile churn rate is already quite low at mid 1% range? Or should we really be looking at your bundling strategy as a top-line growth initiative? Second question pertains to WiMAX. Although we understand that your company was not awarded a license, how big a market do you think there is for such service in Taiwan in terms of subscribers or revenue? I imagine there must have been some assessment made about the market potential within TWM to submit a more conservative bid than your competitors. Thank you.
Yeah, to answer your first question, we've been approached by other people to provide triple play or quadruple play, but no concrete results can be given at this time. And in terms of churn rate, with the bundling, there might be a chance for us to lower our churn rate to be close to Chunghwa's levels. And of course, there should be some top line growth as well. And on the WiMAX, we are more conservative, as you all know, toward this market potential. If you look at Korean market, there are roughly only 20,000 people or subscribers there. That's the major reason why we are very conservative toward this. Excuse me, any other questions?
The next question comes from Ms. Eleanor Leung. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you for the call. I have three questions. One is that you expect third quarter EBITDA margins going to decline by around 3% quarter and quarter. And you mentioned about mobile EBITDA margin is going to only decline by 1%. What is the other 2% come from? The second question is that why should second quarter's marketing expense is much lower than your original expectation? Where that's come from? Is it because of the competition is less than you your expectation? And the third question is that the government plan to issue two nationwide WiMAX license in 2 years' time. Are you interested to bid for that?
Okay. Well, on the third quarter forecast, well, basically our forecast is very conservative, as you know, if you compare the our second quarter forecast to our actual numbers. I must say that our forecast is quite conservative. So I think that's probably the major reason for the decline in EBITDA margin. And the second question that you asked is about the second quarter marketing expense. I think the competition was rather benign in the second quarter. And when we looked at the marketing spending in the second quarter, actually the marketing spending was mostly on the acquisitions and retentions, primarily acquisitions. But the AQ market is smaller from, or the AQ size is smaller than expected. And we also have tightened up our channel management to prevent the channels from giving us substandard customers. If they do, they'll get they'll get a penalty from us. So that also help lower the marketing expense. So the second quarter marketing expense was reduced to an extent. And as to the 209 nationwide license, we don't rule out the possibilities of going for that. Depending on the evaluation of this business. Currently, we don't rule out the possibilities of seeking alternative solutions either. Or if there are better technologies, we may go for better technologies, depending on the technological advance.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Jimmy Chong. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Rosie. Thanks for the call.
Hi.
I just have one question regarding, I think, 2008 we'll see some accounting changes to in relation to mandatory expensing of stock bonuses starting 1Q08. Just wondering if you have done any internal sort of budgets on how much this could affect the reported net profit next year.
As you know that we don't pay stock dividend, stock bonus. So actually, if you look at the amount available for dividend distribution, there is no impact at all.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ms. Shelley Chi. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks very much for the call. I just have two quick questions. You were mentioning on the cable MSO side, that broadband is helping you to grow revenues. I was wondering if you can give us some operating metrics concerning how many broadband subscribers you have right now, and also what kind of ARPU level that they're generating and where you see that trend going forward. And secondly, on your fixed line strategy, can you elaborate a little bit further if the recent TTN acquisition, if that's, how that is going to impact on your fixed line operations, and whether you expect the revenue from this operation to continue to grow? And lastly, on 3G, do you see that this year or potentially early next year could be the time when the 3G handset prices are going to come down to a level where there would be a much higher handset adoption rate?
Shirley, we have about 10% of subscribers that is using our cable broadband services with ARPU around 400 NT. And on your second question, TTN, the acquisition of TTN will help support our enterprise business. TTN is better at developing enterprise business than Taiwan Mobile. So with their joining forces, we'll be able to consolidate our enterprise business and stage a breakthrough from there. And we do expect 3G handset price to fall to increase adoption of 3G handsets next year.
I was wondering if I could follow up to that. How you see how much is the ARPU difference in terms of existing customers versus your 3G customers?
Shirley, could you please speak up a bit?
Hi, sorry. I was wondering if you can provide a little bit more guidance on the 2G versus 3G ARPU. How much is the percentage difference right now?
Oh, okay. Hold on. Shirley, it's still 30% difference.
30%.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, Rosie.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is come from Mr. Dominic Grant. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Rosie. Thanks for the call. Just wanted to give a bit more color on what's driving the MOUs and whether this is related to your BlackBerry product. I noticed also that you'll be releasing, I think, a couple of new models with BlackBerry Connect. So I wonder if you could just sort of give us a little color on that. Thank you.
Dominic, our prepaid business has grown at a more pronounced rate of 20% in the last quarter. So the increase in prepaid MOU helps support our overall MOU increase. And our churn rate has also gone down on the postpaid front.
Rosie, is it possible to get any color on your BlackBerry customers, please?
It's still quite a time-consuming process to expand the business because of the availability of handsets and also the software installation. at the company's site. So, but the ARPU is as expected. So we do foresee the business to pick up a bit more after the acquisition of TTN, which will help boost our enterprise business.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you, there are no further questions at this time, please continue with any further comments you wish to make.
Thank you for joining us. I'll meet you soon in other conferences. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Taiwan Mobile 2007 second quarter results conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.